Will companies be able to pass higher prices on to consumers?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Breakdown, our economy one step at a time. We're about to get the latest government data on how fast consumer prices are rising. Yesterday, the government told us the prices companies pay for goods ticked up. But as Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, that doesn't necessarily mean us consumers will be paying more when we buy things.
The prices companies pay for goods are going up faster than they have in the last 6 months. So you gotta wonder, are companies in a position to pass that increase on to consumers?
No.
Maureen Atkinson is a retail consultant at J.C. Williams Group. She says retailers are in a bit of a bind. They're paying more to stock their shelves, but
it isn't kind of a situation where, gee, things are pretty good, so let's pile on.
That's because demand is soft. Consumers are nervous. And so Atkinson says retailers have to be careful about marking things up.
I don't think most retailers are going to be able to absorb it 100%, but they certainly are going to have to try and find ways of absorbing some of these costs.
Maybe they accept a smaller profit margin or start selling products made from cheaper raw materials. Economist Jerry Nicholsberg from UCLA Forecast says there are some businesses that have more pricing options than others.
If you're talking about food and fuel, typically you can pass those price increases off in the short term.
We've all got to eat and get around.
In other goods, in more discretionary goods, it's going to be much more difficult for retailers.
Most of us don't need that new navy blue sweater and won't buy if the price is too high. But Nicholsberg thinks overall, higher producer prices are going to end up squeezing both companies and shoppers. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Well, now to the Pope, who has been talking economics this morning. He's in Spain for a Catholic youth conference. For more on this, let's bring in a man who follows the Pope, David Willey of the BBC. He joins us from Rome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what's the Pope been saying this morning?
Well, on the flight to Madrid, where he's attending this huge festival of Catholic youth from all over the world, he launched into the problems of the economy. He knows, of course, that there are many, many unemployed young people, not only in Spain, but in other parts of the world. And what he did was to denounce the mentality which says you have to make a profit at all costs. He insisted that morals and ethics have to play a greater role in formulating the world's economic policymakers.
Well, is this typical for the Pope to talk about the economy like this?
Yes, it is in some circumstances. The Pope was the author of an encyclical letter, which is the highest form of papal teaching. He echoed the message of his predecessor, John Paul II, who said that every economic decision has a moral consequence, and says that people should be worried more about people than about economic theory.
And what is the impact of a speech like this? Who is listening to this, and is it likely to change the dynamic in the European debt crisis?
I don't think it's going to change anything suddenly, but it's a message that will get a lot of publicity because the Pope over the next 4 days is going to be high profile. In Spain itself, there's a huge unemployment problem among young people, up to 30% of young people unemployed. Mm. So this is going to strike a note with many of his young Catholic listeners who are going to say, yes, well, look, the Pope does care about this, and he does think that there is a moral side to economic policy.
The BBC's David Willey joining us from Rome. Thanks, David.
Well, thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Well, stocks are down sharply across Europe right now. The German DAX down almost 4% amid news that U.S. officials are looking into just how exposed the United States is to European debt. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports today that the Justice Department is investigating whether Standard & Poor's improperly rated mortgage investments leading up to the 2008 financial crisis. Lest you think that's payback for S&P's downgrade of the U.S. credit rating, the government says the investigation started before the downgrade. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow inched up just 4 points to close at 11,410.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Today, NASA scientists will give us a weather report for outer space. They'll give predictions for a new solar flare season that could wreak havoc on technology, as Marketplace's Eve Troh reports.
Every 11 years, the sun's magnetic fields intensify and shoot explosions of electrons into space,
which can impact satellites like GPS, satellite TV, and satellite radio.
Technology writer Christopher Null says the only thing companies can do is turn off their satellites when scientists see a flare.
Just like if you have your laptop and you know you're about to drop it, it's better if it's off than if it's on.
But the flares are unpredictable. We do know we're going to see a lot more of them in the next 5 years or so, says Joe Kunches at the government's Space Weather Prediction Center. And if Earth gets in the path of one of those explosions,
it introduces more energy into the Earth's magnetic field.
Our atmosphere gets electrified.
It's like, oh my God, what are we going to do with this energy?
Whole power grids have fried in past electromagnetic storms. One study says a major solar storm today could cause up to $2 trillion in damage. The only real defense for tech and power companies? To keep a closer eye on the sun. I'm Eve Troh for Marketplace.
And speaking of technology, I've got a new invention to tell you about that's going to be really useful. A company called Millenniata has developed a DVD that can last for 1,000 years. So, in the year 3000, you won't have to stream Kung Fu Panda 2 directly into your eyeballs. You can watch it on DVD. In other words, maybe Blockbuster does have a future after all. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The national debt. It's a big, ugly number with a lot of zeros on the end. It's getting us into some trouble, too. So how do we feel about all that money we owe?
It's a necessary evil. It has to exist. It's what this country kind of runs on.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Good debt, bad debt, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.